Who's got the, you got that one? Who would you like to open up?
Let's go with John. Jonathan.
Jonathan, okay.
Father God, I just want to thank you today for bringing everyone here.
Yes.
And I want to thank you for Ricardo and Ashley to fight their anxiety, to give us this lesson on anxiety. Father God, I also thank you for bringing me here and watching over every single one of us. May this teaching stick with everyone, and may we all enjoy this breakfast. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
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 Thank you, sir.
All right, we'll turn it over to you guys.
Okay, so I'm just going to do like a little recap of last week for a couple people who may not have been here. Like Jonathan said, last week we talked about worry, anxiety, you know, where our trust is placed. And I didn't mention this last week, but there's little devotionals that you have. Like, I don't know if anybody has the YouVersion, you know, app on their phone, and they have all these little devotionals that you read, and they're super short. Some of them have audio, you know, with prayer. Some of them, you know, they're just different things. And it's nice kind of like little things to be able to kind of read throughout the day, especially, you know, if things are very busy. But so one I was reading on was about, you know, worry, anxiety. And she's a Christian, like, psychologist or something, I don't know. But she said that worry and anxiety are future-oriented, and you can't trust what you can't control. When you're worrying about your job or money, then your trust is in your job or money. When you're worrying about what people think, then your trust is in people. If I worry that I or my spouse won't do everything right or perfect, then my trust is in myself or my spouse. We're trusting in imperfect things that will fail us, and we will receive true peace in life when our trust is in something that is unchanging, which is God. If we realize that our thoughts, worries, and anxieties are covered by God, then we should not fear. Then I add this, because God's got your back. You know, the Bob's out been saying, it's kind of gone around the church now about saying that phrase. But
I have a copyright on that.
Yeah, I know. You might as well at this point. that would be funny, actually. But anyway, so Ricardo had spoke about, you know, recognizing the anxiety that you have. You know, putting a name to the anxiety. You know, what's going on? Why are you feeling this way? He asked questions about, you know, are we putting too much of our faith in others? You know, how does it make you feel when others let you down? You know, are you having enough grace for those people or those situations when you're feeling like you've maybe been wronged or something's not going right, you know? And some that Pastor John has said, too, like, you know, God's grace is sufficient to cover all of that. So those are just things to remember. And he talked about, you know, different stresses that he had in his life, you know, growing up in Southwest or, you know, going into the military, you know. He didn't really touch about family things. We all know there's family stresses, whether it's immediate family, extended family. So the first point was recognizing the anxiety or where your trust is misplaced. And then we had just started talking about spending time with God, you know, as a way to help relieve stress. So that's probably where he's going to pick up.
I don't need that, yeah. Okay, spending time with God basically for me is that's where prayer is involved. It relieves stress, it renews your hopes, and I had put in here earlier, and I said this last week at the end. Reading the Word teaches you about the God we serve, the power He has, and the love He has for us. And then after that, which I'm going to start now is. One thing that I relied on when I was spending time with God, learning His Word, that's another way to spend time with God, is learning His promises that He has for us. And I got a few examples here that we're going to read to you. And these promises are things that you can hold to that fire. You know, you can rely that that will come to fulfillment, that is true, you know, because the Word is truth. So Ashley's going to read Psalm 85, 8a.
It says, I will listen to what God the Lord will say, His promises of peace to His people, His saints, but not let them return to folly. I know he said verse A, but I kind of like this part. It said, not let them return to folly. You know, we had kind of spoke a little bit last week about the lies that we listen to that come into our mind, and we're, you know, we start really feeding upon and start believing, you know, the things that aren't true, whether it's other people, you know, or just different situations. So it says, you know, we have what the Bible says. It says, you know, the Lord's given this to us and says, listen to what God the Lord will say. So the other verse we read last week, do not be anxious. think about things that are true, noble, pure,
excellent.
See, there you go. Yes. You know, just ask Pastor Don what to do. You know, so if we're doing what the Lord said, listening to God, the Lord will say, then we won't be returning to the folly that comes into our lives, the foolishness that we allow for us to think on. So I really like that. It says, listen, you'll get the promise of peace. That's what, you know, anxiety, fear, and all that takes away the peace. So if we're listening to God, we're going to have the peace, and we should not be going back to, you know, the foolishness that we've, you know, allowed ourselves to dwell on.
And I don't want you guys to think that, you know, just because we're saying this, that sometimes we don't fall short on this, because we do, you know. And but one thing that I've learned is the more you focus on that time you spend with God, the less time you have to be in those worries, the less time you have to think about those things, you know. And then you're thinking about what's true, what's noble, and all those things, because you're reading it. So now you're feeding yourself this kind of stuff instead of feeding yourself all that negativity. So, and that's important. It's important because, I mean, if you think about it, how much time do you spend on those stresses, you know, where it drives you all night staying up, as opposed to how much time are you really spending with God? You know, start asking those questions when you're in those moments. And for me, that drove me to want to read more. Like, I mean, where you find moments, even if it's just a couple seconds here and there, to read a couple scriptures and then ponder on that while you're doing whatever else you're doing. You know, and that helped me a lot, helped me get through, and it actually motivated me to read more. Because then once you start, it's like it's almost like you want to know more, you want to know more. And eventually, it just keeps on going. So the next one is 1 John 2:25.
And this is what he promised us, even eternal life.
That's pretty self-explanatory right there. We all want to live beyond this short span of life, right? Ken... did that example one time with the rope, and Pastor Don's quoted it himself too, that little red sliver on that rope as opposed to how long that rope actually was. You know, imagine, wouldn't you want to be a part of that? I mean, how much more awesome would it be to experience what you experience in those moments? You know, if this is just a little bit of a glimpse of what there could be, you know, or how awesome it could be, because after this life, it's supposed to be a lot better. So the next verse is Hebrews 10:23.
Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. So the first verse we read spoke about the promise of peace, and listening to direction. You know, the one in John we had read talking about the promise of eternal life. And this one, you know, to talk about the hold to the hope. You know, he was promised is faithful. You know, so one thing that when I'm always going, which I go through anxiety and all those issues pretty regularly, I'll be honest. But you know, one thing that's really happening, like when I'm going in my crazy, like this is all that's going on, I don't understand, blah blah blah. You know, he does a good job of, you know, pointing back, like, what does God say, Ashley? He's like a good, you know, reminding. But, you know, if he wasn't in his, you know, his word as much as he in, then he wouldn't be able to say that to me. You know, so it's, you know, it's still, whether it's a spouse or, like, you know, a close friend, like, you know, it does help to have sometimes, you know, have somebody else put you back in a perspective when, like, you know, I don't think his emotions really run crazy like mine do. But, you know, in that way, you know, it's a big help. But, you know, because he said some of these verses to me, you know, hold, you know, there's a hope. God is, you know, God is, has good for you, you know, to prosper. That's a hope. That's a promise. You know, you have to think about those things. You know, he is faithful. If he is faithful, well, then why am I worried about things that I'm thinking that he's not going to be faithful to me in? You know, so those are promises that you really have to, like, think. You know, it's nice when you go to people's houses and you see things on their walls or even in here, you know. Hope anchors the soul. Walk by faith. Love always. You know, those are things, like, you know, whether it's on your walls or sticky notes or you're actually reading the Bible, it's really good reminders to be like, look, I need to maybe take myself out and put some things in, you know, a little perspective here, a godly perspective.
Okay, so as I spent time learning his word and what it meant, I started to realize that these promises were meant for me. I mean, that to me was a big deal. You know, it's like, wow, this is for me, you know. These are things that God is specifically telling me, that he's specifically telling every one of you guys, from John, all the Johns that are in here, Eli, Beth, even Dan over there and Jacob over there, James, everybody here, you know, these promises are for you. And God's going to hold to them. And you don't have to worry about that, you know. And so spending time with him is worth it. Think about how you spend time with your friends, your family. You know, how much of that time are you spending with God, you know. And that's important. I think that the more you realize that he's right there, the more you're gonna enjoy that time as you focus on it, as you learn his word and see how good he is to you, how crazy it is. I mean, the worst thing you could do, and he still turns around and wants to be there for you and love you. And that's one thing I learned a lot in actually being a father myself, is that love. You know, I mean, and I don't even know how to love like he loves me, but I see how my kids can be really, really bad. And, you know, instead of me being like upset or really mad and angered by it, I'm more hurt because I know that they're going to have to suffer through these things, you know, or I'm hurt because, you know, they are suffering through some things, you know, and then you realize that you just want to be there for them. You know, you don't want to always bring the hammer down. You know, there's a time where you got to be disciplined, you got to discipline them, but sometimes you got to just be there for them and love them, you know, and that's what God does. He's like that gentle person that comes to you and gives you a hug right when you need it, you know. And that's what spending time with him is those moments like that. So I got in here, explain how I pray. How I pray is how I talk to every one of you guys. The way I talk to every single one person here that I've talked to, that's how I pray to God. That's how I talk to him. It doesn't have to be this formal thing where you're on your knees all the time, although that's appropriate at certain times. It's important to realize that he is there. So talk to him. Say something to him. You know, and it doesn't always have to be audible. Sometimes it requires being audible for your own sake, you know, but it's just a matter of talking to him, just like you talk to your mother, just like you talk to your brother, sister, anybody here. And I think the more and more you do that, the more and more it becomes easier, and you see that he responds in many ways. And you'll realize, and your faith will be built up by it, because that's one thing that I was going to say is my faith is built up by the more and more I spend time with him. So the more and more I pray, the more and more I get into his word and learn what it means, you know. And then it's not just reading it. It's also figuring out what it meant, figuring out how the history behind how they even spoke back then, you know, because some of the words in here do not correlate to the words how we use them today. So the same word can mean a little bit different than what it does now. And those little things are important so you can get a full grasp of what this word can bring to you. And there's so much more than we realize in there. And that's why Pastor Don says, I mean, he's been reading it for God knows how long, to the point where he can almost quote this whole thing. And he's still learning from it. And how awesome is that? I mean, that this word is just amazing. I can't even put a good word to it.
And I think one of the reasons he had put explain how you pray is because when he's talked to like some family or friends, you know, they've said to him, like, I don't even know where to begin with God. I don't even know where to start, how to say anything, you know. And, you know, they have that background of feeling that you have to be extremely proper, say everything correctly. So that's kind of where he was going with that. And sometimes even for actually both of us, you know, it's the song, too. Like, sometimes you don't know exactly what to say. You know, so Ricardo's always like, why don't you put some worship music on? Like, you know, if he's like, he knows I'm like having anxiety about something, you should probably put some worship music on. You know, because it is kind of hard to be, and sometimes I'm like, no, I don't want to put worship music on. Because, like, it's very hard to, like, if you're in that mood about something, and it can be even so stupid and little, but you're in that, you know, it's like, it's very hard to have the worship music on, have something ministering to you correctly. You should, but your flesh doesn't want that, you know, in those moments. You know, it wants to be, you know, thinking about, you know, the negative things that you shouldn't be thinking about. So that's kind of what I say. You know, sometimes when you listen to the music, those words and those prayers that people have, you know, written themselves or gone through themselves, they really, like, you know, have touched me, you know, very, you know, very deeply, actually, with a lot of different songs. But, and then, you know, even with, you know, we had read a psalm last week, you know, of David's prayer. You know, his prayers, like I said, they feel we're not having armies against us, but we feel like different armies are against us, you know, whatever they may be. So sometimes, like, by reading the word and seeing what some of these people have gone through, it puts kind of puts you in a perspective, because you're like, well, obviously I'm not going through that, so I need to kind of, you know, reel myself in. But also you see, like, they did have these emotions as well. And then you kind of saw them overcome their emotions, you know, by letting God minister them, or by then telling, you know, speaking truth about God, and then they kind of changed their way around.
She just took my whole intro.
Oh, sorry.
Into the next part of the lesson. Thank you, Ashley.
Let's start talking.
Yeah, she did. So, you know, that's just a little tidbit, and we can go on more and more on how to spend time with God. There's so many ways that you can elaborate on that. But that's just a little bit of what I do in spending time with God that helps me. So the next part of this phase is rejoicing under that stress and anxiety, or, you know, or fears. And which, just saying that in itself sounds like it could be pretty hard. But I can guarantee you that I don't think nobody in here has been able to worship and praise God and be in that stress, be in that anxiety. They just don't go together. It doesn't work. You're either doing one or the other. Yeah. And when it's in regards to stress. So when you learn how to change your focus into that praise and worship mode, into that being spending time with God, it takes all of that away. It just eliminates it, you know? And then you gotta help that, you know, by leaving it eliminated, leaving it gone, you know? Know that it's gone. Don't bring it back. Yeah. Esther has something to say. You want to take that to her?
I thought it was pretty good what Ashley just explained about when we allow ourselves to stay in that mode of what's coming, what we went through, or what the situation that we went through. Because actually, on Friday, I had a situation with a client, and I had actually overworked myself above and beyond, like, 8 hours. And it's, I don't know if you guys know what I do, but I clean. So I clean with another person. Thank God that I have a godly person with me and quoting scripture, because she was quoting scripture, and she knew we were in the enemy's camp. We were really in the enemy's camp. But this person at the end of the clean came back, and they showed me a couple of pictures of little things that I missed, and I just let myself, oh my gosh, go down deep. But I had my husband there, and he kept saying, Esther, let it go. But my mind kept going back to that. I'd let it go, but then my mind would go back to it. And at the end of the night, you know, I was like, Lord, I'm so tired. Like, I was driven beyond, and the enemy knew exactly how to come in and get me down. So I did get on my knees before I went to bed, and I did say, you know what, God, I did my best, and you know I did it. And I go in, and I told the client, you know, I'm not perfect, you know. They're going to make mistakes. There's going to be a cobweb. He sent me a picture of a cobweb. I'm like, really? I'm like, if he only saw me there scraping the floor, you know, with the, because I wanted his floor to be so pretty because it was all remodeled kitchen. I didn't want his feet to hit the what do you call that, in between the cement, the grout. There was grout on the floor, but I didn't want him to hit his foot on the grout. So, you know, I was like, you don't even understand. I go, you know, I said, you got such a above and beyond clean, and you're sending me a picture of a cobweb and a track, a window track. And I was just like, okay. So then I got on my knees. I said to God, I'm so exhausted, I don't even know what to say. But just bless the situation and please turn it around. So in the morning, there I am exhausted yesterday, so fatigued, but I had to go. So my worker came with me. Thank God, it's Candace Hodge's mom. She's such a blessing. She came and she goes, I mean, not Candace Hodge, Candace Ishmael. I'm sorry. I don't know where that came from. But anyway, I said, let's go. So we went into this house, and then did not this guy get the duck man to come clean? So he actually destroyed my whole clean. So I called the guy in. I said, you got to come in and you got to see. We've done clean. We got the cobweb. But when I was trying to get the cobweb in the basement, the guy was sucking the stuff down, and all these cobwebs started coming down. So I had to say to him, look at the house. Do you remember it yesterday, how beautiful it was? And he sunk. He went like this. And I said, but I came in to do the three things you asked me to do that I just want you to see the house now. I said, you know what? My job is done. You have a blessed day. And I left. But what my thing is going back to saying is the Lord had my back. He did really have my back. And I was in the enemy's camp because when I went there to meet him, he said he couldn't touch me because he was fasting. And I said to myself, I said to him, I'm fasting too. But I said in my heart, I'm fasting to the true God, the alive God. So I know that it was God that was blessing me, and thank God for his grace, because he was there. Amen. Like you say, he was there, and my husband was there and kept saying, get it out of your head, get it out of your head. So we do need one another. We need our brothers and sisters to pray for us.
I don't know if you guys ever worked with Esther Cleaning, but she makes Mr. Clean look bad. So for to hear that, I don't believe it. It's crazy. It seemed like that guy was digging.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
You know, Esther said something that we actually didn't read in the reading in here, but you know how she's fasting to the one true God, you know, and one of the verses in Deuteronomy, it's like how great that, you know, everybody else has their other gods, but we serve the one and only God, you know, and that God gives us, I can't remember, we didn't end up reading it, but basically just saying, you know, everybody has, you know, we're all dealing with, you know, everybody's got their own religion and own beliefs now, and, you know, we can't say anything about everybody else's, but you know, if we know that we have the one true God to go to, and our trust is in him, it's our trust isn't in, you know, a Buddha that's sitting there, and we have to go to it and you know, give little altar, you know, things to it, or where you have to always are going and going and going to do this or going to pray here or doing this. There's a lot of things you have to go to that fake God. You have to go to them. Our God is always around, you know. So if I'm in that moment, I don't have to like stop what I'm doing and go to the mosque or go to, you know, I don't even know all the other religions, but I can just go. I can do it now in that moment. You know, Jesus died on the cross for us, and he became that interceder, so we don't have to go to a priest anymore. You know, we can go straight to God through Christ, and that. So that was one of the things that I didn't want to like add in, but since she brought that up, I was like, well, I'll bring it up too. You know,
yeah. And that all goes along with what I was gonna say is, you know, when I'm stressed, that's the first thing you do that we should all do is and make it learn to make it a habit is go straight to God. You know, even if it's just, God, help me with this. Take this from me. You know, I'm telling you, if you say that, he's going to take it away. Amen. He is. And you have to believe it. You know, that's important. You have to believe it. And the way that you learn to believe it is by learning the word, getting into that word. It's important. So I got a verse here, Romans 5. And I have 1-5. I don't know if we'll be able to do all that.
I can just kind of recap. You know, it's funny, right above it, it says peace and joy. You know, it says we've been justified through faith, through Jesus Christ. We have gained access by faith into this grace, you know, the grace that God's given us, which we now stand. So we've gained access by Christ to have that faith, and now we have the grace, we're able to stand in that grace and faith, and then now we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the sufferings because we know that sufferings produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, amen, whom he has given us. You know, so this set of verses, it really sums up a lot of it. Like, we have to have that faith, you know, to be able to go to God and know that in faith and trust, you know, that he's going to be there for us in our times of need. But even in our times of need, you know, we're still, it says right here, we're going to have suffering. But we need to, like we were talking about in that section, is rejoicing in that suffering. You know, when we're playing sports and we're trying to, you know, excel. Like, our body's sore. You know, if you, anything, when you're trying to clean to the best of your ability, you are worn out. I'm worn out cleaning my own house, and I'm not even doing it like you do. You know, so your body's sore. But what does it gain? It's going to gain experience. It's going to gain doing a better job the next time, you know. So that's part of that, you know, that perseverance that you're having. So the next time you're going through that suffering, you know, okay, well, what worked last time? What didn't work last time when I was going through that suffering? You know, so... Or somebody can remind, a friend or a spouse can remind you of, you know, you, this is what, you know, you're going through this, you know, this is what helped, you know, you need to look toward, you were able to get over this, this is no different. You know, just because it might seem bigger at that time, it's no difference, you know, so it produces that perseverance and the character. You know, we've talked, had many lessons about having that godly character, you know, so these are all those, like, stepping stones that we have, you know, to... And we have hope and faith to go along with us, that, you know, hand-holding us, you know, as we're going up those steps. And it says, hope does not disappoint. You know, like, and like I said, I know I'm kind of like rereading it, but, you know, God's poured out his love. So we have love and hope and faith all along the way of through these sufferings that we have. You know, then we have the Holy Spirit speaking to us, the Bible, through friends, through pastors, you know, leadership. So, and rejoicing while we're doing it. And that sounds like a lot to have to do, you know, while you're going through that. But it's something that's needed. It's something that we're told to do, you know, and we're not going to return back to the foolishness if we're doing these things.
And it blesses you. It really does.
Yeah, and it blesses you when other people see, like, wow, like, you know, a couple people have said, like, you know, oh, I didn't even know you were going through all that. You know, you have it all together. And I'm like, well, not really. Like, you should see me at home when I'm going psycho, you know, running my mouth to him about how I don't understand how things are, you know. So everybody has their... He does really good. Sometimes I wonder how he does not get angry with me. I'm like, I'm waiting for him to get angry sometimes. But no, he does really good. I don't even know where I was going with that.
That's good. That's good. So I was going to show you guys an example of everything that we've spoken about, from spending time with God to, you know, recognizing the fears and anxieties, spending time with God and rejoicing under that stress. And it was in Chronicles, and it's in 2 Chronicles. It starts in 2 Chronicles 20 with King Jehoshaphat of Judah, the king of Judah at that time, or of the Jerusalem and Israel. But I'm going to kind of paraphrase, because it's a lot to read, and but it definitely gets the whole point across of what I... And this is kind of where I derived a lot of the examples from. So in 2 Chronicles 20, it starts off with them saying that King Jehoshaphat just got word. And now this is his anxiety. And this is one of the examples I found of anxiety in the Bible. He got word that three different armies were going to come against him. The Ammonites, the Moabites, and the Midianites. And then the crazy thing is, coincidentally, we all know that there's no coincidences. That those are the territories that God did not allow Israel to invade before this time. So when Israel came to the Promised Land, those are the specific ones he said, do not touch them. Because he had a plan for that in this time. And that's another proof that God knows what's going to happen, even to us in the future. So we need to rely on him. And so now this is a king. He's freaking out. You know, this guy, he doesn't have the army. He needs to fight these three different armies put together. He doesn't have the resources or the people. He has more farmers and trade skill people than anything when you compare them to all three of these combined. So if, as you read on, you realize that the first thing he did when he got word of this was pray and fast. And not only him, but he asked all of Judah to pray and fast. That, I mean, the first thing he did. And so that's a prime example of what we should be doing when we first get this anxiety and fear in us. So that way you shut it out. Don't let it fester. Don't let it grow. You know, instead you're feeding it what you're supposed to be feeding it, which is truth, you know, what is noble and all those good things. So as you read on in Chronicles 20:15, God instructs them to, through a son of a Levite at that time, his name was Jazeel, he used this guy to put the Holy Spirit on him to talk to the king and explain to him what he needed to do. And he basically said, you don't have to do nothing. I got your back. I'll take care of this. mean, how hard is it when you hear somebody say they got your back? You know, I still worry when somebody says they got my back here, you know, like friends or family, I still worry. I still, like, man, I hope he's going to come through, you know? You think about those things, and it's a natural thing we to worry. You know, we all worry, you know? And so he had to fully rely on God. God basically said, don't worry about it, I got you. And so he goes with that, and God tells him, go up to this place and stand there and have your army there and your people there, and then just wait for me there. And literally by the time he got there and posted himself up, all he saw was bodies gone, all dead from all the armies. He caused them all to start killing each other. The first two armies went against each other, ended up going against each other, and then killing one killed the other, and then the other two came and started to kill each other, and to the point where then there was nobody left, and all of them were gone. So you know what he did after that? They started rejoicing. They started he put the band up front. They started singing, rejoicing, and praising God all right there, and all of Judah got to see God's true power right before them. I mean, that is crazy, like, to think that, you know, these three armies that equaled up to be way bigger, that's like all of the whole world coming up against us, the U.S., you know? And then God just takes care of it all. And we just sit here in our homes, watering our grass and, you know, tending our flowers and stuff, and just watch it all happen on TV, you know, or on Facebook. So that kind of sums it all up. At the end, it says that there was peace on all of Judah at that time. Now, I did put in here in the back, it doesn't mean when you get to that point of peace to let your guard down. If you read on, you'll see that Judah let their guard down, and they ended up suffering for it. He spared a few for his own cause because he had to fulfill his word, but they ended up suffering because they didn't rely solely on God like they were supposed to. Instead, they started reaching out to idols and other different things. But what I wanted to show you guys out of this is the word has what you need. You know, everything you need is in there. You know, you can ask yourself a question and you're going to find it, an answer to it. You know, you pray about it and you ask God to lead you in finding these answers, and you will. Sometimes it may not come right away. Sometimes you'll sit there reading the Bible till you fall asleep and you don't figure out how to fix your problem, but then something happens. Amen. Then somebody shows up. You know, then you get blessed out of nowhere, or so many things happen. And I can say so many different things that where God was there for me in many times where I really needed him. And, I mean, even when I went through my divorce, he literally took every fear and anxiety out of me in that moment in time and replaced it with joy immediately. I mean, I was sitting there crying and praying and telling God to take all this pain away from me. And when he did, I mean, it literally helped me to the point where I was smiling and laughing and out of joy, and I didn't understand where it was coming from at that time. And then I realized, you know, thinking about it, God was there for me, and I felt his comfort and his peace there, you know. And as I grew and started to think more and ponder more on his word and read more his word and develop a relationship with him, I started to see more and more that he was with me the whole time. Amen. You know? Amen. All right, that's it.
Give him a hand. Here we go. Who would you like to close?
Let's see. We'll go with Eli.
Eli.
My buddy.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the meal that you've given us, the literal and the spiritual. We thank you for each and every one of us that has gathered here this morning, for the sacrifice to get up early. But you have blessed us with such a word. We only ask, Lord Almighty, that these blessings continue as we move on to the other service that we have. We thank you very much. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.